sitting back there watching that, I didn't fully understand the name change until I began to really just, I've watched that video a couple times now, and it's just now it hit me. When Orphan Network began, they were working with orphans. And along the way, somebody asked the question, why are they orphans? Well, many kids were orphans simply because it was too hard for parents to look at their kids who they didn't have the money to feed, to look at them every day in the face. And so they would abandon them and leave them orphans. And in stepped in ministries like Orphan Network that fed the kids. But then they asked, you know, what if we could keep these kids with their parents? And so they started feeding centers. And this has been going on now many, many, many years. I first met Eddie, who you're going to meet here in a minute, back before we started Essential. And he shared with me the vision of what they were doing in Nicaragua. And I said, someday when I have a church, I want to be a part of this. And he says, someday I'd love for you to be a part of it. And so we've been partnering with them ever since. And I love the fact that they can change the name because the majority of the kids they work with now are not orphans because they're feeding the kids within the local community. So what you may not realize, when you give back a portion of what God blesses you with every single day, and we say that goes to continue ministry here in Virginia Beach as well as around the world, you're feeding 120 students every single day in a community called Los Escaleros, which you won't find on the map. I looked it up to try to show somebody. It's not on the map. It's that small of a community. If you go to like rural parts of North Carolina, Kentucky, there's some of them, like Pungo. Pungo's not on a map, right? You right? But that's what Los Escaleros is. It's a very small rural community. And so you do that every day. And on top of that, and because of that, used to be less than half the kids in that community would finish primary school. In other words, they would not be literate. They could not read or write. They'd have to go through life without being able to read or write. Because you feed them every day, they now have over 95% of those kids in that community are literate and finish primary school. But we were there and we looked and said, but there's an issue. What about after that? Well, for them to go to high school, they would have to literally take a city bus and go to Norfolk. That would be a picture like going from Pungo to Norfolk on a city bus, not a school bus, on a city bus. Would you want your 12-year-old doing that? So it's another barrier. And so you all have stepped up and we've now had 25 students graduate trade school out of that church, which is amazing. And there's another 20 that are enrolled right now because of what you are doing. I know you don't know all this stuff, but that's why every year I love to have Eddie come and share with you. Eddie's not here to raise money. You give back a portion every single week, and that's already paid for it. He's not here to raise money. He's just here to share a message from your heart. I said, what are you going to preach about this morning, Eddie? He says, well, you've been teaching about God first. I want to teach about God first. By the way, he watches online. He says, you've been teaching on God first. I want to teach on God first. I said, bring it. And so just if you would, welcome Eddie. I wish there was 10,000 of Eddie's. Pastor Eddie, thank you so much.
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning. It's always so good to be here. always. I enjoy every March to be here with you. And when I'm not here, I'm watching on you. So be careful. it's so good to be here. And by the way, because of what you're doing, since 2013, when we started measuring through December of 2025, over 50,000 people said yes to Jesus through all the churches we're partnering with. Can you imagine? You're not going to, but if you were to pass away today, again, you're not going to, and then you get to heaven, no, and one day you will see like 50,000 people running up to you and say, wow, because of your church, because of what you did, I'm here today. 50,000 people said yes to Jesus. It's about that. It's about bringing people to Jesus. It's about bringing them to a personal relationship experience with Jesus. And you're a part of that. And I'm a part of that. And so today my title is honored, privileged, blessed. We're so honored and privileged and blessed to be a part of what God is doing. And I will be talking about two principles. But first, as Pastor said, yes, I have been following you on your God First series every Sunday morning. And by the way, greetings to my online friends and brothers and sisters. Every morning we sit and watch you, so greetings. And I was sharing with Pastor Steve, as I have been going through the God First series, at the end I just got to one idea, which I am again honored, blessed, and grateful for. So when you think of God first, you know, in your head you might be thinking, wow, God first, yes. And someone who probably say they don't believe in God, and someone who probably say that God doesn't exist or whatever might say, wow, what a selfish God. Or can say, you know, it's all about him. He wants, he's God. But really, really, really at the end, I was so touched and encouraged when this idea came when I was thinking on the God first thing, because really, God put us first. 1 John 4:19 say, we put God first because he first loved us. So can you imagine? We're saying, yes, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords first. But the King of Kings and Lord of Lords put you first. Loved you first. And if that was not enough, I mean, he showed it. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Now he's calling us friends, his kids. And today I'll be talking his partners and his co-workers, co-laborers. We're so blessed. We're so honored. He's asking us for something that he did first. He's asking us to put him first, but he put us first, even before asking us. He gave his one and only son. I only have Matthias. By the way, greetings from Matthias and Claudia, my family. I'm not quite sure I'll give Matthias for wicked people. I'm not sure I will do that. He did it for us. So really, when we went over the series of God is Awesome, All on the Altar, the Heart of Sacrifice, and the Voice of Great, You Build What You Love, Going All In, and all, et cetera, really, God is just encouraging us, not just, he is encouraging us, and he is asking us to step up and do something that he did already for us, and to love him because he first loved us. Wow, what a blessing. God, thank you so much for loving us. Thanks for your mercies. Thanks for eternal life that we have in Jesus. Thanks for calling us, trusting us despite us. Thank you so very much. Holy Spirit, please talk to us this morning. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So this morning I want to talk about honored. And by the way, there is a great book that I have been reading. I haven't finished it yet, by Condoleezza Rice. The title is Honored, Honored to Serve the U.S., and she talks about that. And I'm like, wow, she felt so honored by serving the United States of America. That's a very high position of, I think she was the Secretary of Defense and Secretary of State. But God, the God of all creation, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is calling us to serve with him as well, to be a part of what he is doing. So this morning I want to talk about two principles. And two principles because of Nourish. Two principles because of God's calling for each one of us. Two principles where we can see God, the Father's heart towards us. And it's like you. I mean, the more I prepared for this, the more I had, like, remembering things that I went through with my son, Matthias. You know, for example, if you want him to reach something and he is not, you put a little chair, you're helping him, and it's like, yes, son, you can, but you're helping him. You can, but you're, I'm pretty sure, just as me, what you were doing is trying to create experiences for him. Trying to create momentum for him, trying to create things that he would then remember and be so proud of you, his father, his mother. And I'm sure you have gone through so much of that, so many circumstances that you went through. And I will start in Genesis 1. And I'll just go quick. Genesis 1. Genesis 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And then if you go through all the verses, I mean, I highlighted like day one, he said, let there be light. Day two, so God made the vault and separated water under the vault from the water above. And he called that expansion. Then the water was sea, and it continued. Then the earth. No, and you can continue. I mean, you read all of the verses, and you see all that he created. Now, my question is, as Nourish, as I'm thinking, okay, yes, I belong to the second poorest country, the poorest country in this Western Hemisphere. And I'm like, if God created earth and all that he did day one through day six, can't God just change poverty like that? Doesn't he have the strength to do so? Or think of your life and think if you're struggling in an area, maybe with your husband, maybe with your wife, maybe financially, maybe with your son, maybe with, I don't know. Can't God just change that in a second, in a nanosecond? He is God. He can do it. And then he got to day six. He created you, he created me, he created us. But from the very beginning I see his heart and his intention of principle number of really wanting to be a partner with us. Really wanting to do it with us. Really wanting to co-work, to co-labor with us. We got to the verse. Chapter 2, verse 27. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, they created. Then he said, the Lord God said, it is not 19, 319 now, say. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creatures, that was its name. Now, when God created elephant, couldn't he just say elephant? Or lion, lion, tiger, tiger? No, and all that he created. But interestingly, he created everything, and then he created you and me, and he said, okay, now I want you to be a part of this. I want to give you the excitement and the passion and everything that you will have when you co-work with me. So let's start here now. Can you help me give a name to each one of the animals and to the trees and to everything that I have created? And we are doing it together. From the very beginning, his heart, his desire is that you would be part of what he is doing. That you and I would be a part of, we would be honored and blessed to co-work, not with Trump, with God. Not with a president of any country. No, with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So you and I have been called to be partner with him. Then if you move forward, I mean, and you can go through the whole Bible. Let's take some example. Number one, Noah. Now, if he created heaven and earth, couldn't God created an ark or built an ark? Or just say, okay, be an ark. And there would have been an ark. And Noah would be able to walk in with his family and bring all the animals in. And God would say, okay, animals in the ark. But again, he is calling Noah. And he is saying, I want to do it with you. This is what I'm going to do. He is sharing his plans with Noah. And he is saying, Noah, we're going to do it together. Noah, I'm going to give you the privilege, the honor, and the blessing to be a part of this. So come, let's build it. Oh, by the way, it is going to sound crazy. And they might laugh. Your neighbors and everyone might laugh after you. And as I was preparing and thinking of this, I'm like, do you know why it sounds crazy? Because it's too big. Because our God does things things really big and great and awesome and wonderful, and things that our tiny mind cannot really wrap around it and try to understand it all. But the outcomes are always great, wonderful. So here is Noah, and here is God, and God is saying, man, we're going to be partner. We're going to co-work. We're going to co-labor on this one. Number two, Abraham. Couldn't God created a people called Israelites? But yet, when you go to Genesis 12, he is calling Abraham. Abraham at the time, then Abraham. And he said, I am going to create a big nation. And this nation is going to be a blessing to all the other nations. And Abraham, by the way, I want to do it with you. I'm calling you. I want to give you the privilege and the honor to be a part of this. He could have done it without Abraham. He didn't need Abraham to do this, but he called Abraham. And then finally, again, you can go through your Bible, but then he got into Egypt. And here are the Egyptians, and by the way, all the countries around Egypt, starving and getting up to the level of famine. And people don't have what to eat. And there are 7 years that probably they will be dead at the end of the seventh year. Now, remember, if you go back to Genesis, it says he created all the trees and seeds and by its kinds. And couldn't he just feed them? Couldn't he provide food for the Egyptians and all the people around them? But no, here he is calling Joseph. And he's saying, you know, Joseph, by the way, I want to do it with you. I want to work with you in providing food for these next 7 years. And I'm going to give you the strategy. And I'm going to give you the blueprint. And I'm going to tell you what we're going to do together. And you're going to be a part of this, Joseph. And suddenly you have the valley in the middle. And then you have the enemies this side and the people of God on the other side. And there is a big guy over there called Goliath, who is threatening the people of God. And every morning and every evening, and suddenly God is like, okay, enough. I need someone to get rid of this guy with. Who is it? Saul? No. Saul's brother? No. The great warriors? No. David, I want to do it with you. Don't you think God could have killed Goliath? If David did it with a slingshot and a little stone, but at the end he said, David, by the way, I want to do it with you. Then I advance and there is another, there is a city by the name of, what you say, Nineveh? And God has a plan now for this city. And he is going to wipe them out as he did in Noah's time, remember? And he is saying, by the way, I want to do it with you, Jonah. And Jonah is saying, me? No way, God. I know them. And he ran away. And you know where he ran into. Yeah. Running from the privilege. Running away from the honor and the blessing to be a part of what he is doing. Now the Israelites are in caves and they're hiding and they're afraid from the Midianites. And suddenly God is like, oh, man, I need to do this one as well with someone. Where can I find someone? And here is this guy. I would use the word coward. Coward? You know, he's afraid. He's coward. He's like trying to reap the wheat and all the food and get food for his people. And suddenly the angel shows up and says, oh, wow, white mighty warrior. Me? I want to do it with you. Gideon, I want to save my people with you. And literally, with God, they did it. And I can continue. But I would end at this verse saying, 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, for we, put your name there, we today are co-workers in God's service. Today, you and I are co-workers. As Pastor said, as Nourish, we're serving children in Nicaragua. Our two main objectives, number one, bring them to Jesus so they can have a personal relationship with Jesus, an experience with Jesus, salvation with Jesus. But number two, breaking cycles of poverty. You are a champion. Breaking cycles of poverty take years. You are doing it already. You have gone through the whole process that Bob, our CEO, described. Feeding program, health and nutrition, preschool, elementary, and then moving up to vocational training so they can provide for themselves. You and I will not be able to break cycles of poverty if they're not providing for themselves. That would be a handout approach. But no, together we're doing a hand-up approach. So last year, 28 kids graduated from different trades. I was surprised. They even mentioned that one of the kids is making sometimes up to $50, $70 a day when he works, when he has the business is going. In a country where the income for the people we're working with it is 1.20 cents dollar a day. $1 with 20 cents a day. That's why we're there together serving them, to transform their life. But some of these kids are making $3, $6, $20, $50 a day because you trained them. You fed them first. You help them with their after-school education program. They grow. And now you're helping them with income opportunities. And they are breaking cycles of poverty. And God is doing it with you. You are honored and blessed to be a part of that. So every March I look forward to this day because I come with two objectives. Number one, to tell you thank you so very much for what you're doing in Nicaragua. We wouldn't be able to do it without you. We're so grateful. I'm so grateful. You know my story. I was one of those kids. And my life has been changed because of God, because of the local church, because of my family, and because of great people and friends like you. I know what it is or what it looks like to go to bed without food. And to wake up in the morning and not have breakfast. And still, to go to school and come back from school and not have lunch. And behind that, I had a mom who would say, she's still alive, who would say, Eddie, remember, 99 is not good. Go do your homework and study. And her phrase was, because my son, one day, I want you to be somebody. That was her phrase always. Always. And God did it. God did it through a local church. God did it because of my mom, my dad, my siblings. But God did it also because of great friends like you. I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful. And today we're doing it for other kids. And God is going to do it. With or without Eddie, God is going to do it. With or without you, he is going to do it. But he's giving us the privilege and the honor to do it with us. How can we say no to something like that? So we are co-workers in God's service. 2 Corinthians 6:1 says, as God's co-worker, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. Vain? Step up and co-work with God. Wherever he's calling you, wherever you are today, what can you do to advance God's kingdom? I mean, you don't have to leave your job and go into ministry. From where you are today, you can step up and co-work with God. So what should we do then? One, be obedient to God and to his word. Because in his word is like the blueprint that would show us what he wants for us. But we have to read it. We have to study it. We have to get into it. Two, be humble, understanding that it's not you. It's not because of me. Because really, as Romans says, if it was because of me, I deserve hell. But remember, he first loved me. He first loved us. And he gave his one and only son. Today we're saved because of him. Let's be faithful and let's trust him as Noah did, as David did, as Gideon did, as all of the guys you can study about, men and women in the Bible did. Let's use our spiritual gift because you have spiritual gift. You have talent. You have potential that God has placed within you. As we always say, time, talent, treasure. Yes, let's use them to advance God's kingdom, for God's glory, to co-work with God. Let's pray, have a prayful life and go back to the King of Kings and say, what is up for today? As a partner, as a co-worker, as our father, let's continue to love others. But my second principle that I want to share this morning, so first, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you so very much for all that you're doing. And two, I want to encourage you to understand this first principle of co-working with God. The second principle I want to share this morning is the excitement that that brings. So here is how I present that. Here is Peter in the boat with all the other disciples. So at least there were 12 of them in the boat. It's midnight. It's raining. The storm, wind, waves, and they're in the boat. And suddenly someone is coming, walking on the water. You know the story. And he got close to the boat. And Peter, among all that happened, Peter said, Jesus, is that you? If that's you, can I come to you? And Jesus said, yes, Peter, you can come. Can I co-work with you on walking on top of the water? Yes, come, Peter. Can I be a part of what you are doing? Yes, Peter. And Peter shows up. And Peter stands up, and he walks upon the water. Fast forward. Peter is home now with his wife and his kids. Peter has the blessing, the honor, and the opportunity to share this experience he had with Jesus from the first person's perspective. I remember that day. By the way, we were driving over, and Peggy said, I remember when. And Rick said, I remember when we were at Casa Bernabe. There are so many things you would remember, but you will be able to share it from a first person's perspective. Or number two, from a second person's perspective. The 11 who just watch Peter walking. But there is a third group who will share experiences and stories from a third person's perspective. John told me he saw when Peter walked upon the water. So there are three options. One, you can share it from your experience with Jesus. That's the one he is calling us to. Two, you can share it from someone else's experience because you saw them doing it. Or three, you can share it as gossip. He told me he saw you weren't there. God is calling us. And he is giving us the privilege to share all of this from a first person's perspective. The excitement of what he is doing in us and through us for his glory. God, thank you so very much for calling us, for choosing us. Thanks for all that you're doing in the life of so many children in Nicaragua through Essential Church, but also here in Virginia Beach. Thank you so much for making us a part of that. We give you all the glory, all the honor, in the name of Jesus. Amen.